Welcome to the Jam Pack Report today for August the 20th of 2023. I'm Jam Pack Sam, and on today's show, we are talking about the end of an era for the Xbox 360 as the digital store goes offline in the middle of 2024. I've got all the info you need to know to make sure you're in the loop. Alan Wake 2 has also been delayed by 10 days, and a ton of games have gone gold that line up a stellar holiday release season. We've got all this and more on today's show, so without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. Starting things off, 2024 is going to mark the end of an era for Xbox because the 360 storefront is being taken offline entirely as of next July. We head to Dave McCarthy, the CVP of Xbox Player Services, who writes on the Xbox Wire, "This November will mark 18 years since Xbox 360 launched. It was a generation-defining console that invited many to jump into gaming for the first time and connect with friends around the world. Over the years, we've heard stories of players who found a lifelong love of games, starting with the likes of Cameo, Gears of War, Fable 2, and other Xbox 360 classics. We are thrilled so many fans keep playing their favorite Xbox 360 games on Xbox 360 or on newer consoles via backward compatibility. As we head toward 2024, we have a change to share about the Xbox 360 experience. On July 29th, 2024, Xbox will stop supporting the ability to purchase new games, DLC, and other entertainment content from the Xbox 360 store on the console and the Xbox 360 marketplace at marketplace.xbox.com. Related to this change, the Microsoft Movies and TV app will no longer function on Xbox 360, which means TV and movie content will no longer be viewable on your Xbox 360 after July 29th of 2024. Between now and July 2024, you can continue purchasing games and DLC from the Xbox 360 store and at the Xbox 360 marketplace. This change will not affect your ability to play 360 games or DLC you have already purchased. Xbox 360 game content previously purchased will still be available to play, not only on the Xbox 360 console, but also Xbox One and Series X and S devices via backward compatibility. A lot has changed since the Xbox 360 launched in 2005. Technology has evolved, expectations from players have shifted, and we are focused on making Xbox Series X and S the best place to play now and in the future. What has not changed is our commitment to preserving your ability to play the content you have already purchased on your preferred device, which means we are committed to supporting Xbox 360 gameplay for the foreseeable future, and you will still be able to play and re-download previously purchased content and connect with friends." And they get into an FAQ down below. Now, what's interesting to me is what we see with the report from the teams over at GamesRadar and other outlets. They say after 18 years, the Xbox 360 store is shutting down, taking hundreds of digital games with it. And this is the big issue, my friends. This is what we need to pay attention to. They write further down in the article, "While many of the most beloved Xbox 360 games are backwards compatible on modern Xbox consoles, those games represent just a fraction of the platform's library. Wikipedia's last count suggests that out of 2,154 games released in total for the Xbox 360 over its lifetime, only 633 have been made compatible with newer consoles. Notable absences include everything from Marvel Ultimate Alliance to most of Microsoft's own Forza series. And in the case of Forza and many other games, licenses expire and the games literally get pulled from digital storefronts. That's something that happens on the newest storefronts that are out there today. We see that happen with Forza every few years. I think the most recent one was Forza Horizon 3, which is not that old of a game in the grand scheme of things. So that's a bigger issue in itself. But the biggest loss here with the Xbox 360 store going offline is that it ultimately is going to make it harder for collectors and enthusiasts to get into games that might not be the newest of the new. Of course, every big company, Microsoft, Sony, any other big publisher in the industry, they want you playing the newest of the new. They want you on the train for the future. And we all are on the train for the future. I'm excited about Starfield. I'm excited about Forza Motorsport, Avowed. As an Xbox fan, I'm excited about all of that. Looking forward to the future of PlayStation, seeing where they take God of War, seeing what The Last of Us Factions is like. Marathon is coming from the team at PlayStation. But looking at the Xbox 360, that's an incredible legacy. That is one of the best, if not the best, gaming console of all time. The argument could be made. And the fact that as of the end of July 2024, the games are going to be more difficult to get, that's a bummer. Overall, this reinforces the importance of collecting physical media if you are somebody who is collecting for the PlayStation 2, the 360, anything beyond that, even the PlayStation 3, to some degree the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. You want to have physical discs. If the game is on the disc, you own that media. You are not going to lose access to that. And right now, you aren't losing access to anything you've purchased on the Xbox 360. Even with the movies and TV, you can still access that movies and TV library from any other version of the app that's available on Windows or another Xbox console. But in the future, that is a potential possibility. You might not be able to access that content that you paid for. We've seen it before and we'll probably see it again. This shows the importance of physical. Now, in today's day and age, is physical even worth it? Because so many of the discs that come out are really just licenses that are burned onto a Blu-ray. Most of the time, most of the game isn't even on the disc. Now, Limited Run does things a little bit differently. There are certain publishers that do put the games on the actual disc themselves, but so much of today's content is stored on a server. This really makes me afraid for the future in general. I'd love to know what you think in the comment section or on social media. Is this going to create a problem in 10, 15, or 20 years where physical versions of games that came out in 2005 are going to be few and far between and those digital versions are nowhere to be found because they were pulled down from the storefronts? I think it might be a problem, but I would love to know if you think it's going to be one as well. Baldur's Gate 3 has been crushing it with the reviews, and right now it is the highest rated game of the year above Tears of the Kingdom, and that's a pretty big feat to accomplish. And we've seen headlines running rampant of Tears of the Kingdom stomped by Baldur's Gate 3, big claims like that, and that's not exactly true. Yes, the game is currently higher rated right now than Tears of the Kingdom, but you have to look at the number of reviews that we're talking about as well. Right now, at the time of recording, Baldur's Gate 3 has roughly about 50 reviews on Metacritic with that 97 score, which is very, very impressive. But Tears of the Kingdom has a 96 with about 150 reviews. So with Baldur's Gate 3 having about a third of the reviews of Tears of the Kingdom, it's hard to really say with confidence that it is higher rated than Tears of the Kingdom. With all of that being said, 45 reviews on Metacritic with a 97 rating, that is still incredibly impressive. But potentially, the most impressive thing is the headline from PC Gamer where they write, Baldur's Gate 3 is PC Gamer's highest scoring game in 16 years. Here's why. And Phil Savage says, yesterday, Fraser called me into an emergency meeting. It was about his Baldur's Gate 3 review. I'm thinking of giving it a 97, he said. We talked it out, he explained his reasoning, and I reminded him of what that score would mean for the history of PC Gamer, a publication that, in just a few months, will be 30 years old. After that talk, I was convinced Baldur's Gate 3 has been awarded 97%. How momentous Baldur's Gate 3's score is depends on which lineage of PC Gamer's history you follow. It is, in one sense, the highest score we've ever awarded in 16 years. In another sense, though, it is the highest score we have ever awarded. PC Gamer has been a global team for a little over a decade. The US and UK editions of the magazines are unified, but in the 20-odd years before that, the US and UK editions of PC Gamer once operated with different editorial teams, different articles, and most importantly for this discussion, different review scores. For PC Gamer US, Baldur's Gate 3 joined some illustrious names. Before today, only 5 games had scored over 96. Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri, 1999, with a 98, Half-Life 2 with a 98, Crysis with a 98, Sid Meier's Civilization 2 with a 97, and Half-Life with a 97. For PC Gamer UK, things are much simpler. Baldur's Gate 3 stands alone. In nearly 30 years of reviewing PC games, none have ever received above a 96. Sid Meier's Civilization 2 had a 96 alongside Quake 2, Half-Life, and Half-Life 2. Both lineages are important to our history, although, as UK editor-in-chief, I will admit to a slight bias. Ever since PC Gamer became a single editorial entity in the early 2010s, the highest scoring games have been Minecraft, the free-to-play release of Team Fortress 2, Spelunky, and 8 years ago, my verdict of Kerbal Space Program. Since 2010, no game has been awarded higher than 96 until today. And they go on to talk more about why one point matters, why their system matters, and how it's structured. This is incredible. And I'll say, Baldur's Gate 3 is not a game I ever intend to play because it's just not my kind of game. I'm not trying to get lost in a 160-hour RPG epic, but that's just my personal taste. That's my personal opinion. This game has taken the internet by storm in a way that I don't think anybody could have anticipated because We're thriving in a year of Diablo 4, Starfield, so many other big games that are on this level. Baldur's Gate 3, personally, I thought, was just going to be another name to add to that list of big RPGs. But the more we hear about it, the more the people play it, and the more reviews come out, it sounds like this could be a legitimate Game of the Year contender, if not just clutching Game of the Year. And I was listening to the Kinda Funny XCast yesterday while I was at the gym, or I think it was actually a Gamecast or a Games Daily. But now we have this conversation, this problem, if you want to call it a problem, of two RPGs that are going head-to-head within a couple of weeks of each other. We have a new Todd Howard Bethesda game coming out in the form of Starfield that is arguably the biggest Xbox release of all time. And we have Baldur's Gate 3, a shocking out of left field RPG that I don't think the mainstream players had anticipated to be as big of a draw as it is, going head to head. And both of them, hopefully, are going to be good. In the case of Starfield, TBD, reviews drop August 31st, but right now, we have two of the biggest RPGs, the most significant RPGs ever made, coming out within a month of each other. And on the PlayStation side of things, this is going to be insane to see Starfield on Xbox go head-to-head with Baldur's Gate 3 on PlayStation. Larian is coming out with a big, big win for 2023. So if you've played it, let me know what you think about it. But man, Baldur's Gate 3 getting PC Gamer's highest scoring game in 16 years as a headline, that is some wild stuff that I never thought I'd see in 2023. Next up on the roster, the fall release season is slowly coming together, starting with Bethesda Game Studios on Twitter, where they write, "Prepare for launch, Starfield has gone gold. Preloads begin tomorrow for Xbox Series X and S and Windows PC, and August 30th for Steam." There you have it, Starfield has officially gone gold ahead of its launch on September the 6th, with September the 1st for early access players. But that's not the only game that went gold this week. The Crew Motorfest has gone gold as well. The Crew Game writes, "We're extremely proud to share that the Crew Motorfest has gone gold. On behalf of the team, we cannot wait to see you all at Motorfest on September the 14th. But wait, there's more with a bit of a twist. Assassin's Creed Mirage has gone gold and is coming out a week early. On behalf of the entire team, we can't wait for you to explore 9th century Baghdad with Bassem. Your journey starts on October the 5th. Save the new date." That, my friends, is a roster of games that is going to be shaking up the gaming industry this fall. And I've seen a lot of talk about Assassin's Creed Mirage not being on that same level of games like Starfield. Of course, the Crew Motorfest, kind of one of those games that's falling between the cracks of the big releases like Starfield, like Alan Wake 2, like Spider-Man 2. But these three games have all been on my radar, and I've played the Crew Motorfest. It's a good game, and they're all coming out again just within a couple of weeks of each other. So I bring all of these announcements up to show you that these delays that are potentially going to happen aren't happening. These games are coming. The time is now. We've been waiting for years to see a big slew of releases come out, potentially that were held back by COVID or other world events that were going on. It's happening. We are getting a ton of games in a very small amount of time. Incredible stuff to see. So in the comments, once again, let me know what games you're picking up. I put a poll up over on YouTube earlier this week. It is flowing with people that are talking about all of the games they're excited for. Mortal Kombat 1, Starfield, Spider-Man 2, everything and in between is coming out over the next few weeks. We've got some great, great content to dig into for the fall 2023 season. But it's not just the newest games coming into the market getting all the love on PS5 and Xbox Series X this holiday season, because DC Universe Online is also coming to PS5 and Xbox Series X. Chris Scullion at VGC writes, "The news was announced in the latest blog update on the DC Universe Online website, with senior community manager Ted Stone revealing that the game will be coming to current gen systems this holiday season. Quote, along with the performance gains found playing natively on the latest and greatest hardware, the team is also working on gameplay and quality of life improvements to match. This initiative is a long-term endeavor that is already underway. You will see some of these improvements launch over the next few months prior to release on the new consoles, some of them at launch and some of them following over the course of the next year. Stay tuned for a future update with more information," end quote. Stone also explains that anyone who's been playing DC Universe Online on older systems and wants to move on to the newer versions will, quote, "still be playing on the same servers with your same characters and friends and with all of your purchases and achievements seamlessly intact. At the time of writing, there is no mention of Xbox Series S getting the same upgrade. Given that Series X titles almost always run on Series S2, it's not yet clear if this is an oversight in the announcement or a rare exception. DCU Online originally launched in January 2011 on PS3 and PC. It was given a PS4 version when the console launched in 2013, followed by an Xbox One version in 2016, and a Nintendo Switch version in 2019. The game's 46th episode will arrive in October, but it and all previous episodes are accessible for free. The game does have a monthly subscription fee, however, and it also has in-game purchases. What a story to read. DC Universe Online is coming to PS5 and Xbox Series X. Now, I personally think that the overlooked Xbox Series S is a mistake on DC's part, potentially on the team's part, because I can't think of a reason why this game would be held back on the Xbox Series S. I mean, we're talking about a game that ran on a PlayStation 3. There's likely going to be parity between the Xbox Series X version and the Xbox Series S version. Of course, we think back to Baldur's Gate 3. The game is not currently on Xbox because of the fact that they're still working on getting that Xbox Series S version up and running with full parity with the Xbox Series X version. With a game that's 12 years old, I can't imagine that that's going to be the same problem. So hopefully we'll hear an update sooner rather than later and a bit closer to launch on when this game is going to be landing and if it's going to be landing on the Xbox Series S as well. But glad to see this getting a new life on new platforms. And I think that with MMOs like this, you've got to be able to continue upgrading to the newest hardware to keep that flow of players coming into the game. Because if it is a DC Universe Online game, you're going to be able to get new players jumping into the game, enjoying it for themselves when they do get a new console. If they're upgrading from even a PS3 to a PS4, the fact that it's available on the PS4, that was a big win. Going from PS4 to PS5, same exact situation. So the more the merrier, and the fact that this game is still going 12 years later definitely means that it's got a dedicated audience that keeps coming back to it. And while I've never dove in myself, it's cool to see that I have the option to on the Xbox Series X coming this holiday season. So more news to come, but if you're a DC fan, get hyped because DC Universe Online is not done yet. If you've been wanting to dive into Alan Wake 2, you'll have to wait just a little bit longer. According to Remedy, they have delayed the game by 10 days to simply give it some breathing room. Wesley Yimpool over at IGN writes, in a statement, Remedy said October was packed with game launches and wanted to give players more space to play everything. Quote, October is an amazing month for game launches, and we hope this date shift gives more space for everyone to enjoy their favorite games, end quote. Now the game is going to get pushed from October the 17th out to October the 27th. They continue, Alan Wake 2 was set to launch the same week as Insomniac, sure to be massive PlayStation exclusive Spider-Man 2. Back in 2010, launch sales of the first Alan Wake suffered due to launching in the same week as Rockstar's behemoth Red Dead Redemption. October 2023 also sees the launch of Forza Motorsport, Assassin's Creed Mirage, Super Mario Bros. Wonder, and reportedly Sega's Sonic Superstars. So, we are getting a 10-day delay for Alan Wake 2, and personally, I don't think this is a big deal at all. In fact, what I think this does is more effectively push it towards that Halloween date, because Alan Wake 2 is more of a survival horror game in comparison to what the original Alan Wake was. And so we're getting into that spooky season, give players 10 days to get through Spider-Man 2, which I can't imagine will take a ton of people more than 10 days to really play, and by the time they're looking for something else, Alan Wake 2 is there to fill the gap. I think this is a brilliant move, and I'm excited for Alan Wake 2 to potentially have the opportunity to get a little bit more of that mindshare. Once again, in a season where we have so many options and so many games to play, we've just got to make sure Alan Wake 2 and all of these other games get the time and the attention that they deserve, assuming that they are as good as they seem to be. Wrapping up today's show, we've got two Xbox stories back-to-back. First, coming to Xbox Game Pass for the month of August, we've got Firewatch, Grizz, Sea of Stars, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This is the first round of games coming for the month of August, with more to come later in the month. But let's start off with an honorable mention of Everspace 2. They write, step into the pilot's seat in this fast-paced single-player space shooter where brutal challenges stand between you and Epic Loop. Embark on a sci-fi adventure where massive handcrafted areas are packed with secrets, puzzles, and perils. Level up, craft, and loot better gear to survive on the edge of space. And I've been checking this one out for myself. I got in on day one, and it is not without its launch issues. Lots of stuttering, lots of frame drops, and I would say 95% of the time, it's running well. But in high action moments, when the frame rate drops down to literally nothing, and then it stutters, and the game just feels very jarring, not the best experience. The combat is fun. The loot system is fun as well. I'm enjoying my time that I'm spending with it, but if you're on the fence about it and you don't want to dive in right now in a sea of new games that are coming out, you can definitely hold off, wait for that patch, and you'll have a much better experience. So good game, just probably needed a bit more testing and time in the oven by maybe a couple of days or two. But by the time this episode is out, you might even have a patch out that fixes all of these issues. So dive in. Everspace 2 is still a good time and an awesome addition to Xbox Game Pass. Then we also have Firewatch on cloud console and PC, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre on cloud console and PC as well, and that one is a day one launch with Game Pass. And I'm hearing great things about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This is kind of a bit of a twist on the asymmetric horror game where typically it's one horror villain versus a group of survivors. Now you've got multiple different villains versus multiple different survivors. So if you've got a group of friends that wants to dive in and play games together, this is a great option, and the fact that it's on Game Pass makes it more accessible for people, so you don't have to convince your friends to spend $25 or $30 on a game that they might not be into. Game Pass totally circumvents that problem. And once again, the game is available now by the time you are watching this. Then Sea of Stars is coming to cloud console and PC on August the 29th. This one is also available day one with Game Pass. They write, Sea of Stars is a turn-based RPG inspired by the classics. It tells the story of two children of the solstice who combine the powers of the sun and moon to perform eclipse magic, the only force capable of fending off the monstrous creations of the evil alchemist known as the Fleshmancer. If you haven't seen Sea of Stars gameplay, it is one of those throwback games that you are absolutely going to want to see if you like that turn-based combat kind of game. Game Informer did a great cover piece on this one. They also have a great cover on one of their recent magazines that shows off some of the art from the game. But the indie scene is going to be thriving with this one. So if you want to dive in, awesome addition for Game Pass on August the 29th. It's also launching in PlayStation Plus Premium as well. So if you don't have Xbox Game Pass and you do play on PlayStation, another awesome way to dive into this one. And then finally, Grids is coming to cloud console and PC on September the 5th, but you can also play Starfield up to 5 days early starting on September the 1st with 10% off the premium edition upgrade for Game Pass subscribers. And in case you missed it, Quake 2 came to cloud console and PC Game Pass, available now as a part of the QuakeCon announcements. And then that goes ahead and gets us into the next story that I did want to dig into. It is Madden season. Late August is typically when the new game drops. And while right now we do not have reviews for the new game, you can actually play a couple of hours early. And by play a couple of hours early, I mean literally play and try the game for 10 hours before it launches with EA Play looped in to Game Pass Ultimate. Jeffrey Latham writes on the Xbox Wire, Madden NFL fans start the biggest Madden season early with Madden NFL 24. EA Play members can opt into a 10-hour trial of the game right now, 3 days before release. With early Madden NFL 24 access, you'll gain experience to new gameplay depth that delivers more control and realism on Xbox Series X and S through the next evolution of FieldSense and the debut of Sapien technology, which makes characters more human and anatomically correct. EA Play members can perfect their tackling skills by jumping into Madden NFL 24 now and earning member-only rewards, including a special welcome pack for Madden Ultimate Team featuring 4 elite players, as well as recurring Ultimate Packs throughout the season. In addition to Madden NFL 24, there are even more member content and rewards available now in EA Play, and you've got a quick look at them there, including some nice charms for Apex Legends, a bit of a skin for the Nightbird in Battlefield 2042, and more, and you can check out the entire benefits there. But Madden is always one of those games where, growing up, it signified the back-to-school season for me. It signified that football was back. This is fall. We are getting into the late summer, early fall season. And Madden 24, I'm getting some rough first impressions from what I'm hearing on social media. Seems like it's going to be another one of those iterative small steps forward, potential no step at all kind of copy and paste games from Madden 23. But if you do want to dive in, and it is part of your yearly tradition to check out Madden 24, this is a free way to do that. If you've got EA Play or Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, dive in, play for 10 hours, give it a shot, and let me know what you think. But that wraps up today's episode of the Jam Pack Report. If you're new here and you enjoy what you see or what you hear, be sure to hit that subscribe button on YouTube, add the show to your podcast feed, and get it delivered right to you every single Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. It's always a pleasure digging into the week's gaming news with you all, and we have a great season ahead. Hope to have you along for the ride. But until next time, you have a fantastic week. I'll talk to you soon, and as always, keep on playing.